26 PFAX Advisory Committee to order. Why don't we go ahead and start off with attendance by identifying yourself from left to right.
Frank Davies, Auditor Controller.
Wallace Rodecker, Chairman.
Carlos Carney, District 3.
Tom Hammond, a member.
Frank Hamm, County Executive Officer.
John Moore, District 1.
Okay, wonderful. All right, we'll move on to an approval of the minutes. Can I get a motion on the minutes?
I'll make a motion for approval.
Carlos Carney, second. Is there a discussion on the minutes or any corrections?
I'd like to make an addition, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think it would be appropriate. I'm always critical of these minutes because they're skimpy and they're not complete. But I think it would be appropriate in item number 6, the concept to recommend the proposed financing of the property. I think it's very important that it be mentioned that Mr. Kim advised us, and also Ms. Lester advised us, that it was not PFAC's job or responsibility to recommend or make comments about the real estate deal, which we got involved with. And we're only to address the financing of the deal that's already been made. And I think it's important to put this in the minutes because this is a subject of the current meeting coming up that we're gonna cover. So I think if everybody agrees, I think that was discussed and was brought, I think it's an important point. It should be in the minutes.
Fair enough. So noted. Any further discussion on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Minutes are approved. We'll move on to the next item, the recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, the issuance of the, item number 3, $97 million, or not to exceed $97 million. Should we start with a motion, or should we start with a... an explanation from staff. Do we need a motion to start?
I don't think we need a motion. We have a staff presentation. We can make the motion after.
All right, then we'll start with the presentation.
Okay. As you know, Suzanne Lester officially retired in March. However, she's graciously decided to come back and provide some continuity on some of these items, including this one. So she will be making the presentation today.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the PFAC committee, Suzanne Lester, Administrative Manager for the County Executive Office. It's great to see you all in person today, so I'm happy to be here. Today, the County Executive Office is requesting your committee's recommendation to the Board of Supervisors the proposed financing of the county's property purchase and improvements of 1382 Bell Avenue in Tustin for the Sheriff Coroner. Just to briefly give a background of what has transpired thus far, on May 11th, 2021, the Board of Supervisors approved and executed a lease agreement between the current Bell Avenue property owner and the County of Orange for the Sheriff Coroner use of 120,000 square feet of industrial and warehouse space located at 1382 Bell Avenue in Tustin. On February 8th, the Board of Supervisors approved and executed the first amendment to the lease agreement to update lease terms initially from 20 to 25 years and provide the county with a one-time right to purchase the property for $91 million, which includes $17 million in tenant improvements. On March 1st, 2022, and March 8th, 2022, the Public Financing Advisory Committee and the Board of Supervisors respectively approved in concept the tax-exempt financing for the purchase and improvements of the Sheriff Coroner facility. The two-story, 120,000-square-foot building is for the Sheriff Coroner's Technology Division. The property with the tenant improvements will consist of a real-time crime center, department operations center, dispatch center, technology labs, IT and network housing rooms, training rooms, other offices, conference rooms, staff kitchen and dining facilities, and a ground floor warehouse storage area. The property also includes an automotive shop and parking lot with 363 spaces. Now, before we proceed,
Suzanne? It's John Moore. I have a question on the $17 million improvements. How much, if any, has been spent so far?
The timing of that question is very appropriate because I was just about to say before I proceed with the discussion on the finances, I would like to introduce Matt Miller, the county's chief real estate officer, and Matt will provide an update on the building purchase and the tenant improvements that have already commenced. And so Matt Miller will come to the podium.
Good afternoon. My name is Matt Miller. I'm the chief real estate officer for the county. Just to build on what Suzanne was explaining, and we'll get to the answer to the gentleman's question in a moment. The $17 million that was approved this past February was in addition to previously approved, I believe it was like $21 million that was in the original lease. So the total for the tenant improvements and the construction that's being done on the facility is $37 to $38 million. At this point, my understanding, and we haven't, you know, I don't have a to-the-day update, but they've spent about $15 million in the tenant improvement. So basically, you know, to kind of step back, this is a longstanding effort that my department, CEO Real Estate, has been working on in conjunction with the Sheriff's Department, and it's a consolidation of a variety of different operations, including the Sheriff's Communications, Fusion Center, and some other things. So we'd been trying to locate the optimal space for this for a while. We found this facility in Tustin, which was originally a lease. In the lease that was approved by the board last year, we did have a first right of refusal. So when we were made aware earlier this year that the owner was going to market the building, we expressed an interest. They brought it to us and settled on the $91 million cost, which does include the $37 to $38 million in tenant improvements. So construction has already started under the existing lease. It started, you know, previous to February, and then there was $17 million in additional tenant improvements added on as part of that amendment. So the construction will continue in, you know, after the purchase, when that will be secured by a work completion agreement that we've negotiated with the owner. All of the remaining costs, the remainder of the construction cost outstanding at the close of escrow will be put into a different escrow, which is we've referred to as the construction escrow, so that the funds will be paid out of that, and they won't be released to the owner at the close of the purchase escrow. There'll be further escrow to make sure that the improvements that we have we're contractually entitled to under the lease and under the purchase or under the work completion agreement are delivered. So I think that that kind of rounds out my comments. I didn't know if there are any more questions.
A couple. So if I'm reading this right, we paid $53 million for the property, and then the other $38 is for improvements.
Generally, yes.
And at what time, when was the $38 million improvements negotiated, and how much room is there that number might go up considering the construction costs have changed dramatically in the last 24 months?
So there is a contingency in there of about 15% that was included. So the final agreement was this past February, which was kind of after the supply chain issues have come into play. Right now, we're not anticipating going over that with the contingency that was built in.
There may be 15%.
Right. Well, over what has been budgeted. Yeah. Which with the contingency. So we have that wiggle room. But in addition to that, our understanding at this point is there may be some supply chain delays, but we haven't seen, you know, necessarily an increase in the costs.
Okay, but just so that I'm clear, we have $38 million allocated for TI, and then if I'm hearing you right, they have the room to add another $6 million or so, 15%, to that number.
Right. So basically what will happen is when escrow closes, the amount that's outstanding on the construction costs, there'll be 115% of that further escrowed. So, you know, there'll be that additional amount there.
Okay.
And what has the experience been up to this point on change orders on this work that's already started?
There have been some minimal change orders, but it hasn't been anything that affects the current estimate.
And you don't anticipate on the remaining balance that there will be additional change orders of a material amount?
Not that we're aware of right now.
Over what period of time are we going to be spending the $38 million, or when do we expect to have it completed?
So substantial completion right now is targeted for October 31st. There might be, because of supply chain issues, there might be some issues getting some of the AC handlers in. But as of that date, the majority would have been expended and most of the work would have been done. As I said, there might be some issues with getting some of the handlers for the AC units that may go beyond that, which could result in the work going a little later, but probably not in additional costs because those have already been purchased and it's really about the delivery.
Okay. Questions?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. These lease revenue bonds, is that what you call them, that we're proposing here, is a county liable for these, for the debt here, or is this strictly the property?
This is Suzanne Lester, County Executive Office. So when we issue the lease revenue bonds, and I was going to get into this further, but to mitigate the supply chain risk, we're proposing capitalized interest for a year before the sheriff coroner would take occupancy, and then they would be responsible to make the base rental payments, which would go to pay the debt service. So, yes, this is county debt.
It's county debt.
Correct.
Okay. And, well, it's interesting that in all the information we received from our previous meeting and today, we seem to have no information about the valuation of the property. Now, we're not, PFAC's not involved in the real estate deal. However, what we're proposing here is about 100%. Mm-hmm. 107% financing of the purchase price on this property. And it would seem to me that people who buy these lease revenue bonds, that might be a question. I mean, do I make 107% loans? I don't think so. But so can you explain that?
Well, there is an agreed upon purchase price. There's cost of issuance. And then we do need to capitalize some interest so that the work can be completed before the sheriff
Suzanne,
takes.
Well, I understand how you got to the Suzanne, 97 million.
Yeah, that's the basis. That 97 million. How do we know that's fair market value?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean the point is that who have we got an underwriter on this yet?
No, this is going to be a competitive bid, and Matt Miller, Chief Real Estate Officer, just. Handed me a note just to have me inform you that JLL did a property valuation and it came in at $108 million.
Okay.
With the improvements?
Correct.
Correct.
Well, and when was that done?
This is Suzanne Lester. The evaluation was done in the February 2022 timeframe.
Well, so that was before the interest rates started to go up.
I mean, the interest rates have been fluctuating since, you know, the beginning of the year.
Well, if you so the number you said was 110
million? 108
million. 108 million. And which probably makes it, what, a 90% loan to value, I guess. But I think that's a critical number. If you're an underwriter on this deal, I would think that would be very important information if you're selling bonds to people.
Assuming they're secured by the property itself.
Yeah, exactly.
They are.
Yeah, it's actually secured by the county.
Right.
It's a county debt. It's not. It's
right,
not
which is why the LTV isn't quite as relevant to this.
Yeah. So it's a county deal.
It's county debt, but it's secured by the base rental payments of the sheriff's department, just as the lease would have been.
Ms. Lester, can you tell us who did this table on page 2? Who prepared that, K&N or?
That's correct.
They prepared that? This might be a tedious question, but on that line down there where they estimated present value, mm-hmm. Can anybody in the room tell me what percentage rate they used to calculate that present value number? Was it 4% or 2% or? 3%?
3%.
Okay. All right.
Was it 3% across the board, or is it based on the interest rate that's on the bottom row?
It's 3% across the board.
3% okay. Across the board.
Okay. So staying with that that chart, the final column, which looks like it was updated May 4th, and I'm looking at the total cost of $205 million, and it says an estimated nominal savings of $53 million, which I believe is a comparison of the purchase price of $205,000 compared to the total cost of the lease,
correct,
which is the $258,000, right?
Correct.
So we get a total savings of $53 nominal. Okay, I know, but then the present value would be a lesser number with the discounting. So if I look at the column to the left, and I assume that, well, it says the calculation was as of January 31st, with an assumed interest rate of 3.27% instead of the 4.49 in May. And I would anticipate that would be the only input that would be different. And it says the estimated nominal savings is $63,000. But wouldn't I be comparing the 258 to the 173, so the number would be different? So I'm comparing the wrong number somehow. So can somebody help me with how we got to the 63,000?
63 million, Carlos.
I'm sorry, 63 million. Thank you.
It's a few million between friends.
Yeah, I know.
Well, one thing that is different between January and May is that in the January numbers, we had 6 months capitalized interest, and for the May numbers, we have 1 year of capitalized interest.
Okay.
And that was because we learned of the potential risk for supply chain delay.
Okay. Just one final thing related to this chart. So, let me just go to it. It'll just take me a second. It says in attachment A, page 4 of 9, section 8. The true interest rate cost of the bond shall not exceed 6.5%, mm-hmm. which is quite a bit more than the
4.5%.
So, I mean, doesn't it get to the point where, of course, as the interest rate goes up, the delta between the or the savings between the expected lease and the cost declines, so that it's less of a value. So. I understand we probably gave ourselves a little bit of cushion to get to the 6.5%, but has somebody assessed whether if there's delays for whatever reason, mm-hmm. the board doesn't have a quorum and they don't approve it, interest rates keep going up, by the time mm-hmm. the deal needs to get done, we're like at, preferably not, but you know, we've all been mm-hmm. in the 70s when we had double digit interest rates, that the deal doesn't make sense? Has somebody said or looked at what the break point is?
We have not looked at what the break point is, but I think this table demonstrates that there's still plenty of room and significant savings over the lease. And this is going to be short-term in nature with the board, this going to the board June 7th, and then shortly, you know, almost immediate after, we're going to be posting the POS and then selling the bonds competitively.
Okay.
May I add just some additional information, since I think members in PFAC are looking at this in terms of a value proposition. I'll share with you, and certainly we can hear from the sheriff personnel if needed, but when we look at a transaction like this, I think on the staff report, you're looking at a 30-year value proposition, and I think you're asking good questions about what that is. From a county perspective, we're looking beyond 30 years. So we're aware that the building is going to be sold, whether we acquire it or another entity acquires it. And we're digging in and making improvements on a long-term lease. For a county perspective, we plan to be here beyond 30 years. So acquiring the building and owning the property and being able to develop that infrastructure for our use has long-term value that extends beyond just the time frame that you're looking at in terms of the transaction. So I would provide that as additional input that county looks beyond 30 years in terms of the acquisition of that property. For us, we'd like to be in a facility. It is ideally located because it's adjoining the sheriff's training academy, and we have other assets in and around that area. So for us, we're looking at this as a long-term play, not just a 30-year transaction.
And Mr. Chair, if I might add a couple other pieces of input that I've just received. Our municipal advisor let me know that he doesn't have the exact number, but the 6.5% not to exceed, even if we had to go to 6.5%, would provide savings over the lease. That we're not expecting that, but if it got to that. And then the second piece of input that I'd like to share that I received from Michelle Aguirre, our chief financial officer, is, you know, the county's philosophy. I mean, we probably have the lowest debt profile of any county in the state. We don't like debt. I mean, that's not good for our staffing unit, but just to let you know, there's a plan in place over the next couple of years to pay off another general fund debt, the central utility facility, which we issued that debt in 2016, and there's a plan through our annual strategic financial plan to pay that off by 2026, freeing up $4.5 million per year of general fund debt. And how that links to this is there's a 10-year call provision, which there's a plan in place that we would want, the county would want to pay that off early than 30 years.
So I believe that we all agree that owning real estate is a better alternative than to leasing. And we also all agree that the likelihood is that Orange County will be here in 30 years. So I don't think any of us are debating that. We're just trying to get a sense of what we're paying for the property, to get comfortable with it. We're being asked to approve the financing on it, and I understand that some people believe that our purview is to only look at the financial aspect of it, or the financing aspect of it, but we feel that our body isn't just a rubber stamp, and we do want to get a broader sense of the acquisition that's being made, the price per foot that we're paying on it, and the overall cost, and so that we can confidently approve it. So I believe that's the nature of the questions you're hearing today.
Absolutely, and I agree the questions that have been asked here today have all been very relevant to the process.
Okay. There was only, I just added one other question, well, at the moment anyway. The bond is for $97
million? Not to exceed.
Okay. The acquisition is $91 million. The spread is for the 15% we talked about?
The premium and the cost of it, there's the purchase price of $91 million. So on page 3 of the staff report is the estimated sources and uses. Propose a resolution of a not to exceed, we give ourselves some cushion in case interest rates rise, but that's not the expectation. The expectation is a purchase price of $91 million, a capitalized interest of $3.8 million, Cost of issuance, $857,000, and then we have a small $1,500 contingency for a total of $95.7 million.
Okay. Are there any more questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a, it's John Moore. I have a question. To going to attachment A on page, pardon me, page 4 of 9, under section 6, second line from the bottom of section 6, you're talking about sublease should be no longer than 40 years. Everything I've read so far is 30 years. Could somebody explain to me why that says 40 years?
Well, this is Suzanne Lester. The financing will be no more than 30 years, and I'm looking at our bond counsel from ORIC, and the 40 years, is that the statutory maximum, or?
I think that that number was derived just to give flexibility in the event the market demanded something that went out a bit longer or that turned out to be more efficient. But
do you want to come up here and say that? Thank you.
Hi, Andrea Greenwald. Great question. So the 40 years that you're seeing is a not to exceed, just like the other not to exceed parameters that we've discussed. And that's also, there's a cushion built in here that while the expectation is shorter than that, this is just delegating authority to go that maximum.
It seems like the other documents all reference the 30-year term. The lease and the sublease all reference the 30-year term.
Yes, and oftentimes you'll see that in resolutions versus the actual underlying agreement, where the resolution is going to authorize something that has a bit more flexibility, right? So we're authorizing a $97 million par amount. We might not go up to that amount, right? So the documents, once we price, will not reflect that. And that's the same approach here with the term of the lease.
So we'll know the term of the lease when we issue this, because when we sign it up, we have to put the term in.
Of course. Once the deal prices, we will know the term. The term of the lease corresponds to the length of the bond, the maturities of the bonds.
Yeah, of course. What would cause this between now and when it goes out to go up to 40 years?
I'm not your financial advisor, so I can't answer that question, but I can turn it over to him.
Please.
That's the last act you can be my straight person for. I'm David Brodsey from Canon. Frankly, it was a pretty casual decision. It's flexibility. If for some reason you tend to draft these documents earlier in the process, if for some reason the county wanted to lower its annual debt service, it's the budget process, and you know the whatever is $5.5 million. We need to get it down a little bit. Can we stretch it out? I don't think there's any expectations to go beyond 30 years. It's just when you do a delegation resolution, you want to give the professionals enough room to meet their goals without suddenly looking back. And if it were 35 years, I don't think anybody would care, but it's just a nice round number that was put in the resolution.
Okay, thank you.
Tom, you had a question?
Yes, Ms. Lester, just on page 3, there's a sentence there I don't quite understand. It says, subject to recommendation of PFAC, they will conduct a competitive sale. What does that mean? Sale of the bonds or sale of the or comps or what?
This is Suzanne Lester. A competitive sale of the bonds, which typically what the county has done is a negotiated sale, where we, before we bring on the finance team as part of that, we issue an RFP for an underwriter. And when we're coming to PFAC and the board to recommend the financing team, we have the underwriter as part of the financing team that we ask you to recommend to the board, along with a municipal advisor and a bond and disclosure counsel. In a competitive sale, we do not have an underwriter until the day of pricing. We put together the preliminary official statement and the finance structure with our municipal advisor and our bond and disclosure counsel. And then on the day of pricing, we invite bids. and there is a bid process on that day, and the firm providing the best bid wins the sale of the bonds.
Thank you. Just one question. Mr. Miller, who did you say gave you that appraisal or evaluation of $108 million?
It was done by Jones Lang LaSalle, who is our broker and real estate advisor. Jones Lang LaSalle.
Oh, Lang LaSalle, okay. All right, thank you. My last comment, Chairman, is that if my supervisor asks me about this, or I'll tell her, this is really a real estate deal. And relying on this table for a 30-year projection is irrelevant. I mean, it ain't going to happen, and because of the world we live in. But Mr. Kim and the county and the sheriffs think this is an important deal for non-economic reasons, fine. I mean, we'll go along with it. All we're looking at here is what's the best structure to borrow for the county, not the real estate, to borrow money. So that's my point. I mean, it's this stuff, that's not a reason to vote for this. I mean, the reason is because you need the property, you want the property, and there's a lot of good reasons for it.
Correct.
Was there any reason that Friedenreich didn't decide to buy these bonds for various funds?
You know, this is Suzanne Lester. Thank you for that. The treasurer is, you know, bound by constraints in her investment policy statement, and it doesn't meet the parameters of the current investment policy statement.
Okay. Do you know why?
The term. Her investment policy statement doesn't currently allow for that long term of a debt.
Okay, thank you.
It's 10 years, isn't it? 10 years?
Right, which is the maximum, right? Yeah, same as the city of Vermont.
Okay.
I have a question when you have a chance.
Yes, please, go right ahead.
So the one question I had, that's kind of really more procedural or structural. I just wanted to understand kind of the significance of it, but if you look at attachment E, and it's the trust document. And,
did you say E as in Edward?
Yes.
E as in Edward. On page 34, section 8.01, second paragraph, I think it's a long sentence. It might be.
I'm sorry, Carlos, can you repeat where you are on E?
Yeah, I just turned on my microphone as well. Thank you for reminding me. Attachment E, page 34, section 8.01, second paragraph, and it's where it references the paragraph starts the authority, and then which is the South Orange County Public Financing Authority. Basically will maintain a surplus of at least $50 million, which, as I understand, the authority is pretty much a pass through, so. Is that even feasible?
So it is a long sentence. I'm going to start by acknowledging that. But these provisions in Article 8 of the trust agreement are all fairly standard trustee provisions. So U.S. Bank is acting as the trustee for this deal. And so they're doing an administrative function related to the bonds that were sold, right? So they're making debt service payments on the bonds. And they have a variety of other roles and responsibilities set forth in this document. And the sentence you're focused on here is, the authority, unless there's an event of default, and you can't remove the trustee in an event of default because they have a lot of roles and responsibilities they have to do. So the authority can, outside of an event of default, may remove the trustee at any time and appoint a successor. But this proviso here is meant to limit that and just say that if you're going to appoint a successor, banking, trust agency, whatever it is, it needs to have like collateral of $50 million. Okay. And that's just to be able to support the type of money, sure, like moving in this transaction, and that it's like a secure banking entity.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Appreciate
but it's
that.
A long sentence, so, yeah.
That's That's an impressive catch, Carlos. What do you do in your spare time?
It took me a while to figure out what the role is of South Orange County. And so I figured, well, if I spent the time, invested the time to figure that out, I might as well see what that $50 million had to do with anything. So there you go. Right,
well, thank you for the question. And Ms. Greenwald, thank you for the answer. Are there any other questions from the committee? All right, then with that, I will call the question. Oh, wait, we haven't motioned yet, have we? Can I get a motion on it?
Carlos Carney, so moved.
John Moore, I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
He didn't vote.
Oh, that's right, I get a vote. I'll vote in favor as well. Motion carried then. Okay, I believe some of the committees I serve on, I don't get a vote. I'm just a pretty face. All right. Okay, I believe that brings us to public comments. Do we have any comments from the public?
And Mr. Chairman, can we make sure to ask John Moore, Member Moore, if there's any folks wanting to make a public comment at his location?
Is there somebody besides Mr. Moore?
Well, it's technically posted.
I posted the sign 72 hours before this meeting, and I'm sorry to say there weren't a knock on the door or anyone have any questions.
Okay, so nobody on the phone. Are there any members of the public that wish to address the committee today? Okay, with that, I believe we have another meeting coming up a little sooner than regular. Suzanne, when is our next meeting?
It'll be July 14th, is a special meeting.
July 14th. Okay, so that is our next meeting.
1:30 on a Thursday?
Uh-huh.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, then at this point, I will adjourn the meeting at 2:11 p.m. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for attending. Thank you for all the answers. I hope you're enjoying your retirement, Suzanne.
Thank you.